Greetings, bad movie lovers, and welcome to a special sneak preview of one of the new members-only series here at the show, Bimon Sci-Fi Con.
That's right, it's Bimon Sci-Fi Con!
Join me and my co-host Stephanie Kennerly, who you may remember from such episodes as Volcano, Sudden Death, and Life, as we get together twice a month to venture across the landscape of science fiction from the astounding to the absurd. And for this one, we're staying in the clone zone as we talk Michael Keaton to the fourth power in Multiplicity. Now, for some reason, my microphone was not properly connected, which you think I'd probably have figured out since I've done this so much, but my audio's a little messy. Stephanie still sounds good, so my apologies in advance. But nonetheless, I still hope you enjoy the preview.
Hey, everybody. It's Bimon Sci-Fi Conversation. For legal purposes. Welcome back, Stephanie.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Always up for some sci-fi conversation.
For the people that will eventually have listened to the first episode, which I'm not even done editing because I need to still find the music so I can do the intro. And then at that point, I can actually publish something. But we left off with me deciding, sinus infection got me, me deciding to roll the dice on Multiplicity, which is sort of like, if you're like a really like sci-fi purist, you may not even consider it a sci-fi film. But at the end of the day, the story is a sci-fi story. It just happens to also be like a jaunty 90s rom-com as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's like sci-fi light, you know, light on the side, but definitely, you know, there wouldn't be a story without the sci-fi premise. So it's solidly sci-fi to me, but not your typical sci-fi.
Yeah, I chose something that was sort of like the other end of the spectrum from Replicas. Like, we're still dealing with clones, but this isn't a thriller. This isn't about some very ambitious science. It's not really about science at all. It's more about, I mean, I think underneath the surface, there's some interesting, like, ethical questions that get raised with probably, like, all cloning stories. This movie doesn't really spend its time there, but it's a movie about sort of how we would use science to maybe excuse or pacify existing problems. You know, there's the scene where he first meets the doctor, right? He's on the couch and he's like going through all his problems and he's like, well, I don't know, I'm not a therapist, right? So it's like, this is something that probably this character Doug would be dealing with in therapy. He's just like adulting, like finding time to work and get ahead in his job and try to provide for his family while also trying to be a good husband and maybe lesser so than be good at work, and then further down the line is like also be a good dad. So really, it's like his own, the problems are his own making, and he's kind of a dick. Like, the more I watch the movie, I've seen this a lot and I still enjoyed it quite a bit, but he's kind of a prick, and I like that he gets some pushback from his clones as well in that regard, where a lot of movies maybe wouldn't like even get into that. This is, I feel like it's a very like psychology heavy movie, even though what it mostly does is try to make us laugh.
Right. Yeah. I like that the character is very much relatable. I mean, even if he's a dick, he's kind of a dick in a way that all of us end up being a dick when we get put under a lot of pressure, I guess. or maybe I'm just calling myself a dick and everybody listening is a wonderful person. but I understand that like desire, like, okay, I'm working my ass off and I'm trying to take care of my family and I'm fixing everything in my house. And my wife is constantly on my case as soon as I walk in the door. And where is the time for me? Like maybe I am a selfish person, but I would definitely be having that conversation. And he takes it a little far when he gets the clones going and he's just like, all of you guys take my entire life and I'm going to learn to sail and do all these things that like weren't even important to me, but now I'm just escaping everything. So I understand the impulse.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I've joked about this. We talked about this in film club. You know, I think we talked about it in the last episode too, where sort of like, I feel like what would help me with time management would just be having a clone. And it's like, really, is that a worthwhile need for a clone, or do I just need to get better about my time management? Because it just feels like there's sometimes not enough hours in the day. But this character, Doug, is probably mid-30s in this story. So he's like fully adult. He's got kids that are like 5 and 8, married. His wife is old enough to have worked, had kids, stopped working, wanting to go back to work. So fully adult. Close to our age and really struggling with the idea of like, how do I actually find myself in the midst of all this? And like, that's what the movie ends up becoming. And I think maybe one of the most endearing parts of it is that each of the clones is just like a different aspect of himself. And it's a great vehicle for Michael Keaton, who I love, who I think is a fantastic comedic actor and really got, I mean, he wasn't on the shelf forever, but it wasn't until Birdman where he really sort of broke back out and started like taking on lead roles again and was featured more prominently in really commercial stuff. But his like 80s and early 90s run has like a lot of really interesting gems in it as well. And I feel like, yeah, we did him a disservice, especially when I saw the Flash movie from like a year or two ago. And I was like, wow, we really waited this long to bring Michael Keaton back as Batman. Like, he's so good. Even in that movie, which is like, meh, and his like Bruce Wayne with the long hair and like the recluse is kind of weird. But he's just so good as Batman that I felt like, yeah, we waited all this time to bring him back in this fashion. It was kind of just like a waste. We strayed away from all of that. And so this has always been a movie for me that's always kind of resonated in this particular frequency where I get a ton of an actor that I like really getting to have fun and play very distinctly different versions of himself. And when we did Jackie Chan Month for Film Club, what I put on the list was Twin Dragons, which is another movie where it's an actor playing dual roles. You know, I mean, Jean-Claude Van Damme did this in a couple of movies, but to really do it with 4 different characters and to have to like have distinct characteristics for all of them is difficult, but also like the subtlety of the performance, I think, is a little understated. There's a scene later in the movie where 2 is sick. And 3 is like, I'm going to cover for you at work. And then he calls in to work to be like, I'm sick, I can't make it. But you have like Michael Keaton playing a third version of his original character, then imitating the second version of that character. And I'm like, this is really like interesting stuff. And it made me laugh because like the voice he chooses to use in that situation is just... It's a great showcase for him, and like I was laughing hysterically watching this last night.
Yeah, this is one of those movies that the entire time I'm watching it, I'm going, oh my God, this must have been so much fun to make. Like, I just kind of imagine being the actor who gets to do that and like break himself up into all these different characteristics and exaggerate them and just play, you know? Like some... There are some movies get so serious that you know you kind of forget that actors are just pretending. That sounds stupid. But anyway, moral of the story, this seems like it was so much fun, and I too thought it was hilarious. Like some just like like super basic jokes that just caught me off guard and I just barked out laughs. Like probably my favorite one, which is not even like a great joke, was as soon as Doug realizes that they had made four, he's like looking at them all and he's counting and he's like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then four goes 12.
Yeah.
And that just made me laugh so hard. It's just stupid, but the best kind of stupid.
Thank you for checking out this preview episode of Bi-Mon Sci-Fi Con. I look forward to embarking on this journey with Stephanie, and I hope you had a good time with us too. If you did, you can join the Resistance members only and get more exclusives like Bad Movie Futures, Rom-Comathon, and anything else I decide to tack on by clicking on the link in the show notes or going to badmovieswelove.captivate.fm/support. Thank you for listening. Be good. Do good. Take care, everybody.
Mr. Pop.